it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Lando Norris is a winner at last, capitalizing on a mid-race safety car to leapfrog Max Verstappen in Miami. Hey there, it's Michael Laminato here in the aftermath of the Miami Grand Prix, but due to some reasons beyond our control, unfortunately, we won't be able to bring you an episode of the F1 Strategy Report this week. Instead, today we've got you the latest episode of sister podcast Pit Pass F1. If you don't already know it, Pit Pass F1 is your short, sharp F1 bulletin released every day of every Grand Prix weekend. Esteemed F1 journalists and some voices you might recognise from the Strategy Report, Julianne Sarasoli, Chris Medland and Diego Mejia, will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula 1 and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula 1, subscribe to sister podcast Pit Pass F1 wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The F1 Strategy Report will be back after the next race of the season, the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, later this month. But for now, to wrap up Lando Norris's eventful first career victory, here's the latest Pit Pass F1 dispatch from Sunday in Miami. You're listening to Pit Pass F1. My name's Michael Laminato, and this is race day at the 2024 Miami Grand Prix. Pit Pass F1 is brought to you by Evergreen Podcasts, and on today's episode, Lando Norris wins his long-awaited first Grand Prix after an opportunely timed safety car gifts him a cheap pit stop and the lead. So let's get straight into it with this weekend's host. From the tropical climes of the heaving Miami paddock, it's Julianne Sarasoli.
It's Lando No Wins No More. Very popular winner amongst the drivers, I must say. Many of them, or if not all of them, came to congratulate him. Carlos went to McLaren's hospitality twice to say hi to everyone, congratulate everyone. And once he just came back specially for Andrea Estella, who he hadn't seen previously. Of course, being an ex-McLaren driver and just seeing how far they came, especially from the beginning of last year, but I'm gonna go on that later. But the best was Fred Vasseur, always very entertaining Fred Vasseur. And he got Leclerc's champagne bottle from the third place, and he started to spray journalists or photographers who were waiting for McLaren's team photo, which did take a while, so probably they need a little bit more of practice there. So he started to spray them, and he was around all of us. And then Zac Brown, of course, he never misses an opportunity. He gave him a McLaren cap. He was wearing the McLaren cap, and then he realized, okay, I'm here in front of everyone wearing a McLaren cap. He tried to hide, he tried to get closer to like being kneed down, because everybody was kneeling down because they were trying to find the best place to take the photos and everything, but his knees were really failing him. So I was able to take a few pictures of him just trying to hide himself, but not being able to. But anyway, Fred was an amazing character in the paddock, just giving some love to the McLaren team. But coming back to nickname and Lando, no wins and all this stuff, Andrea Stella said it's not really fair to blame Lando. Lando only won on his 110th race, but he said many times in the interview post-race that McLaren knew he would deliver when the opportunity arrived, and if something was missing was on the team side. He was really complimentary of how Lando manage his race. So first he knew he couldn't overtake Sergio, so he started to save his tires. And something really funny that and interesting that he told us is that he's always so insightful, Andrea. He's just the best team principal to interview. And he said, Lando mentioned that when he heard Oscar had overtaken Leclerc, he started to aim higher because he knew his car was better than Oscar's. So let's remember that McLaren did bring a huge package of new parts for this Grand Prix. And if you count part by part, then Oscar had 50% of the parts. But if you count for performance, then Lando's car was way better because Oscar was missing the floor and the side pods. So very important things for Formula One car. So when he heard that Oscar was making progress, he felt, okay, I have to make progress too. And remember that message that he got from the engineer saying, oh, should we cover Perez or not? And he said, no, I'm moving ahead. I'm going for Carlos. And that was a pivotal time in the race, because if he had stopped at that time, he wouldn't be leading the race when the safety car came. So it's just this feeling, I can move forward. Our race is with the guys in front. That was very important for his race. And of course, saving the tires at the beginning of the race. And actually, when the safety car came, his tires were actually pretty good. And the plan was to just go and go and go. So they would create a tire offset that was much bigger than what he had at the time, which was 6 laps to Max Verstappen. And the idea was, okay, he would come back probably behind Leclerc, maybe behind Oscar, but Oscar being in a different strategy, so I think it would be easy for him to pass. But then he would have to overtake Leclerc and Max Verstappen to win, but he would have a good chance of doing so because he would have a big tire offset. Another thing that Andrea Stella really wanted to put emphasis to is that actually Oscar's quali lap was faster, given that his car was slower. But he ended up not being up there because of the timing of the safety car and also a big fight with Carlos Sainz with front wing damage in the end of the race. But anyway, another big step for McLaren in terms of pace. The team is pretty happy with the data they've seen after this upgrade they brought to Miami. They know other teams are going to bring upgrades to Imola. But if we go back 14 months in terms of pace, it's just amazing what McLaren has done. Because they were basically fighting for the last positions on the grid 14 months ago, and they are now winning a race. Okay, it wasn't a straightforward race, but still, it is a win, and every single thing they brought to the car worked. Even changing the wind tunnel halfway, because they were using a different one last year, now they're using the new one this year. And everything worked. It's an incredible journey for the team. And what Andrea was saying is that it only takes them one more big upgrade so they can fight Red Bull. So let's see what happens. Of course, it depends on what Red Bull can do, but I'm gonna get there in a minute. One man who helped to build this team was Gilles de Ferran, who died last December. And he was remembered many times by the team. Actually, Andrea Stella, he had a pin in his accreditation, and on his phone, he had a Gilles de Ferran sticker. And he told me everyone at McLaren has a sticker on their phones and laptops remembering the late Brazilian driver. But it's also a win for Andrea himself, his first win as a team principal. He didn't want to talk too much about it, but he went back in time a little bit, talking about how he visited every department when he first got to the job, and he spoke to everyone from each department. And he started to believe that they had a group in which he could believe and which could work together, working without taking any credits. That's something important, he said. So nobody wanted to say the car is mine. Everybody wanted to take the team forward. And that's what they just did. But if you're thinking about the McLaren fight, you have Red Bull with a big upgrade and Ferrari with a big upgrade. They don't want to tell us many things about it, but there is a lot of expectations about both of them. But the thing is, Red Bull, they haven't been getting as much out of the car, or they haven't been able to develop the car in the same rate as McLaren. So let's see what they can do. Actually, Ferrari as well. And I spoke with Fred Vasseur about the development and all that, and he mentioned something really interesting. He said Carlos started the season better than Charles, but only by a few tenths, and now things have moved to Charles' side. And he said, this is the thing that is driving our team forwards, and this is what I want to see from my team. It's helping me, and I don't want to say they fight, but they are competing, and that's very good for the team, and it actually has been. So it's upgrades, but also in a way that one teammate is just pushing the other forward, and the same actually happens at McLaren. But going back to Red Bull, in Miami they couldn't get the best out of their car. The asphalt was more abrasive this year, probably down to the treatment that they do to the track in Miami. They had ups and downs with the car balance, and Max was in the wrong end when the safety car came out because of several things that went wrong. And actually, they don't usually go wrong for Red Bull. In a normal weekend, he would have opened a bigger margin at the beginning. He would have been the last one to stop. So if the safety car came, he would be in the best position possible. But those things, they never happened. So he was leading and struggling with balance. He stopped before Lando, and he was surprised with the sort of times that Lando was doing with used tires just after his stop. Quickly after the restart, with 24 laps to go, he realized he didn't have the pace advantage to overtake him. And let's say in Miami, you really need a big pace advantage to overtake anyone. And he didn't try to keep up, like we've seen several times other drivers doing with him. Just trying to keep up with him, realizing quickly they are not able to, and just letting him go. This time, he did it with Lando Norris, and Norris ended up winning by a 7 seconds margin. So we had a Red Bull which was far from being optimized, and you could tell Max was fighting the car because he made an error and ran into a bollard. You don't see that very often. And a rival with a very good pace and a free pit stop, which didn't hurt his race, let's say. Horner said there was damage to the car after the bollard incident, but Max said he felt nothing. And we all know how sensitive he is to the car, so I would be more on Max's side. But anyway, they should be very strong again in 2 weeks' time in Imola. But it was another step from McLaren, and it's been very clear for some time that they have been able to take bigger steps than Red Bull in the past 14 months. I'm not talking about a fight for the championship or anything like that, but maybe we could have some interesting races, or more interesting races than we had in 2023. What else did we have? So we had Lando first, Max second, Charles third, Perez fourth, and I don't remember Horner mentioning Checo in the interview post-race, apart from mentioning his very optimistic start. I think that's how he put it. Sainz fifth after a 5 second penalty for a collision with Piastri, followed by Lewis Hamilton, Tsunoda, George Russell, and Esteban Ocon, finally scoring a point for Alpine in 2024. So Taylor Swift didn't come, but Travis Kelce did come, but the name of the race would have been Donald Trump, who went briefly to the grid. I've never seen so many heavily armed men on the grid before, but that was all for Donald Trump. Donald was with McLaren, so he really took advantage of that by saying he was a lucky charm by McLaren. But I do not think we're going to see Donald Trump on the grid very soon. Anyway, that was it from the Miami Grand Prix. It was much more exciting than we could imagine. And let's see what happens in 2 weeks' time in Imola with all the upgrades. I hope you liked the coverage this weekend, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.
That was Julianne Cerasoli, who was in the F1 paddock all weekend bringing us the latest from the Miami Grand Prix. You can find more from Zhu on social media. Just check the link in the show description. From the 16th to the 19th, we'll be at the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, and you can stay up to date throughout the round by subscribing to Pit Pass F1 wherever you get your favourite podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating and a review. You can also find us at pitpassmotorsports.com, where you can check out the Pit Pass Motorsports blog, powered by Podium Life, featuring racing articles and motorsport industry news. Pit Pass F1 is an evergreen podcast. My name's Michael Laminato, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks from Imola. Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the World of Outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.